Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Sound.
Elder Derek Oliver, and we're live on Blog Talk Radio and getting ready for the D&K Bible break. Along with me, I have Miss Kay. You there, Kay?
I am here. Good evening. Happy Monday.
Yes, we just want to say good evening to everyone that's listening, whether you're on the internet or you're on the phone line. And if you want to go to the internet, to the online, it is www.blogtalkradio, Chaos Talk with Derek Oliver. Or you can go to our phone line at 845-277-9094. You dial that number, and we will be on live on the phone line. Also online, again, is www.blogtalkradio, Chaos Talk with Derek Oliver, and that's how you catch us online. We just want to say good evening to everyone that's joining us on this Monday, who's been supporting us throughout the past year. We just want to say thank you. Shout out to my sponsors, Pepsi, Royal Caribbean, Pizza Hut, Finish Line, Outback Steakhouse, and I forgot the name of the book. Goodness.
Brentwood Publishing?
Brentwood Publishing. Thank you. I know it by heart so many times, I don't even write it down no more, but I knew I was forgetting that one. Thank you, Brentwood Publishing. We just want to send a shout out to the people who sponsor us on the air. Also, just want to send out a shout out to all those that listen to us. We're not going to be long this evening, but we're going to be very beneficial, very quick on our topic tonight. And before I even get on the topic, it's just a lot of thank yous. I just want to I'm just in a thankful spirit because God is opening up so many doors for us. And one of the doors is being open. I know everyone, we've been in a pandemic, but we're going to be doing, and I'm going to have information tonight on my Facebook page, and I'll put something on Instagram, and you'll hear about it from now until August 27th. We're going to do a chaos cruise. Royal Caribbean is opening up the cruise lines back up the 1st of June, and our first chaos cruise will be August 27th to August 30th of this year, and we'll have, so if you want to go, we're going to call it a couple cruise. You don't have to be a couple, but if you want to go on the cruise, we'll have information, the phone number to call in, how much it's going to cost, and we're doing something a little different. If you come on the couple's cruise in August, there's some benefits to this cruise. You'll get $100 onboard credit. That means when you get on the ship, your room will automatically have $100 in it, and we'll be giving away Chaos Talk T-shirts as well. And you'll get your Chaos Talk T-shirt that Friday night at dinner. We all eat dinner at the same time on that Friday night, and then you'll get your T-shirts then. And all that comes if you sign up and go on the cruise. But you'll hear more about that in the flyer we'll have hopefully ready by tonight, starting to promote it tomorrow, the Chaos Talk crew. So keep that in mind. Keep that in prayer. If anybody wants to, I don't care where you want to go, there's going to be a Royal Caribbean phone number you call, and you just say you want to go on the Chaos Cruise. They'll know exactly what you're talking about. They're going to give you all the discounts and the price right there. And then that will be it. For our friends here in Atlanta, if you want to go with us, you want to follow us up, we're driving to Port Canaveral. It's about a six-hour drive. We're going to drive up there and park the car. I think it's $40 for parking for the whole weekend, 40 or 50. I don't know what the COVID and everything. I don't know if they went up in price. Last year it was $40. So between $40 and $50 would be parking if you want to follow us up as we go up there on the 27th. I know me and my wife is going on the cruise. If don't nobody else go, we going on a cruise. But we want to open it up to all those who wants to participate. We're going to do another cruise later on towards the end of the year. That's in negotiation right now, so just keep that in prayer. Also, another thing to keep in prayer is we are expanding. we are expanding our Chaos Talks. We're here in Atlanta. We're going to have a branch in Dallas, Texas. So we're going to have another office located in Dallas, Texas, and that's going to start out the first month in June. We'll be in Dallas, Texas as well. We're all over the place, but we're going to have another office in Dallas as well. I see Kay got knocked off. I want to make sure she's back. Are you back?
I'm back. I don't know what happened.
Okay. Well, my line, we're at a capacity on our lines right now. So in case I go out or you go out, that's the word I'm getting. So hopefully you'll be good for the rest of the show. I was just telling them about the Chaos Cruise on August 27th of this year, if they want to go. Hopefully we'll have our flyer out later on tonight or first thing in the morning. You'll see it on all social media sites as well. And with that being said, do you have anything you want to say before I get started?
I don't have anything. No, I don't have anything.
Okay. Cool. Well, we're going to get right into it, and we're not going to hold you long tonight. Those are just a couple announcements. And I don't want to forget our regular weekly schedule. Tomorrow night, on Tuesday night, we have Praise Tabernacle Bible Study. Bishop Omar Zachary is our bishop, and his team of elders and evangelists will be on tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Also on Tuesday, that's on Tuesday night, Wednesday night, we have this Wednesday night is going to be a special Chaos show this Wednesday night. And it's just going to talk about our Chaos Cruise and some of the things we got coming up right now. And I'm just saying it, putting it in the atmosphere, just so my prayer words will be framed. On May 10th, we'll be going downtown to Atlanta and talking with a cable network about putting everything that we do on Blog Talk, and our church services will be on live cable TV. So for those that are listening from Praise Tabernacle Church, when you saw the videos and stuff there, it was getting us cable ready, because if things go well with the network and we can come to some sort of deal, we'll be on cable with our church services. So let's just keep that in prayer as well. I'm excited about that.
Man.
With that being said, sort of what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about salvation tonight. And with that, we're going to open up with prayer, and I'm going to get right into what we're going to talk about. But while I'm doing that, if you have your Bibles, I just want you to turn to Romans, the 10th chapter, and park at the 9th verse. Romans, the 10th chapter, and park at the 9th verse. And I'm going to open us up with prayer. Father God, we just want to thank you. We want to thank you for allowing us to wake up in our right frame of minds, Father God, giving us activities of our limbs, Father God. Father God, we just want to thank you for all that you have done for us, Father God. Father God, if there's anything in me or in Kay that's not like you, we just ask that you remove it right now, Father God. Father God, we ask for your forgiveness if we've done anything, knowing and unknowing. We just ask for your forgiveness. Father God, as we present your word, Father God, get us out of the way, Father God, and let us be your vessel, your mouth tonight, Father God, to give the people what you want them to hear, Father God. And Father God, we ask these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. All right. So tonight, we're not going to be long. I just wanted to get those announcements out. And but tonight, we're going to talk about salvation. Tonight, and it's important that every time we do our show and we put a word out, it should always end, and we try to end, and sometimes I forget, sometimes I shouldn't, that's my fault, but we want to talk about how do you become saved and what it means to become saved. And I want to read this passage of scripture, just as Romans 10:9, that's all I need to read. Because I woke up, and I'm going to use myself as an example this morning. When I woke up this morning, I didn't feel saved. I know that I'm saved. I just didn't feel it. And the reason I didn't feel it is because I was looking at my day when I woke up, and I looked at it in a negative way. And I just didn't feel right this morning. That don't mean I was not saved. I just had that feeling. It was just like a dark cloud over my head. Like a woe is me. And sometimes we as believers, we have those moments and mornings. But tonight, I just want to talk about what it means to be saved. So in your Bibles, Romans 10:9, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And there's a period at the end of that. And I'm going to read it one more time. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So really what that's saying is if you confess, that means open your mouth, that the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart. So you have to confess and you have to believe what he did on Calvary's cross. Those three things, and it says, thou shalt be saved. And at the end of saved, there is a period. That means end of story, end of conversation. That's it. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And that's it. There's no more to it. You can't add to that. You can't take away from that. You shall be saved, and there's a period at the end of that. Now, some people say you got to do all this other stuff to be saved. No. It says you shall be saved. And as I'm telling you that, if you don't believe it, that's all you got to do. It's not my job or the church's job or the elder or to clean you up. That's the Holy Spirit's job to do all of that. And some people get it faster than others, and some people take a long time to get certain things. But according to this scripture, that if you confess it, you believe it, you shall be saved. And that's it. There's no more to it. Now, some people get saved. Some people come from many different walks of life. They come from many different backgrounds. And people say, I've heard this say, well, if I can just quit smoking, if I can just quit drinking, if I can just quit being a whoremonger, if I can just quit doing all these, then I'll be ready. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says if you confess and then you believe. Now, there's a difference between living the lifestyle and just willfully sinning. There's two different things. Some people, it's a struggle. And because it's a struggle, it doesn't mean that you don't want to quit. And sometimes when you struggle, you get convicted. If you're not being convicted, then you're just doing what you want to do. But if you're being convicted by doing things that's not of God, that's your flesh and your spirit fighting against. That's that conviction comes in. And sometimes you're going to struggle from time to time. And I'm not saying God can't clean you up and turn you around, but sometimes we struggle with some things. And then sometimes we get delivered instantly. It just depends on your walk and your relationship with Christ, which is between you and Christ. So don't think that you got to stop doing everything all in one day because you accepted Christ as your personal Savior. It doesn't work like that. In some people, it has worked like that. But in some, it's a, you have to put in some work. You have to put in some time. And you're going to fail at some things because none of us are perfect. So that's pretty much where I want to go with that this evening. And I'm going to leave some room for Kay to come in there.
All right. You want Kay to come in there now?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so this scripture that you just read, Romans 10 and 9. So what I like about, like, the ending part of this scripture, it says that you will be saved. And the word be, I wanted to look at that word. I'm like, okay, it says you will be saved. So Paul said you will be saved, not you are saved. That word is not R, it's be. And a lot of times people use, they don't say be saved. They may say be saved, but they're acting more of a R save as far as a present tense. So it's like R, like right now, I'm saved right now, present tense. They don't do what it says, you will be saved. Be saved, it's an arrangement that's made in advance. So when you make your arrangement in advance, when you accept the Lord, his free gift of salvation, then this is an arrangement that you're making in advance. It's preparation. So you're accepting him in advance. So I just wanted to point that key word out, be saved. You will be saved, not you are saved. So with that being said, like I said, salvation is absolutely free. It is a true gift from God, and our only responsibility is to receive the gift of faith. And faith is the gift that we receive from God. And if you want to reference also, in addition to Romans 10 and 9, Ephesians 2 and 8 says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Many times we do things, we get saved, and I believe this was a conversation that was brought up last week during my on a prayer call. And it was like, you know, some people, you know, they've been in church all their lives, they got saved, but it just seems like they're just still babies drinking milk. And it's like, why do you think that is? It's not that they're not saved. I don't want to say what they're not doing. It's possible that some people don't apply what the word says. It's not a daily application. They're not walking this thing out daily. They're taking notes based off of what the pastor says, and what they hear at church is what they go by. They may read their Bible, but they're not studying it. They're just reading it like, I don't know, maybe like it's a novel or a book that they picked up. And so they're not really applying the word to their lives. So not only do you get saved, you also have to apply the word. You have to walk this thing out. This is action, and it's something that you have to do daily. So I just wanted to add that in there.
Well, you added a whole lot with that B and R. That just took me to a whole nother level of the conversation. But I don't want to confuse anybody. But yeah, that was really good. And also, when you become saved, I just want to give an analogy so everyone can understand it. It's like you have a lamp with no light, and someone gives you a light bulb, and it's your job to put the light bulb into the lamp and turn the light on. That means you have to do something in order to receive. You received it. Now you have to put it to use. You have to put the light bulb into the lamp and turn the lamp on, and then the light will begin to shine. And then when the light begins to shine, you can take the light and spread it on the darkness and the dark areas of your life. All I'm saying is when you accept Christ and you start to apply the word, that's an action. You're doing something. You're turning the switch on. And as you turn the switch on, the light comes alive in you. And then you will know and you will see where dark places are because you have the light guiding you. And a lot of times, even as being Satan myself, sometimes that light would get turned off and I don't necessarily turn it on and I'm walking in the walls. But as soon as I turn that light on, which I'm referring to the word of God, and that word of God is between you and your Savior. Now, I can hear other people talk and teach, but until I start to apply it to my life, it's always going to be dark until you apply that word and the light comes on and you can see it. And some people don't want to turn the light on because they want to stay living in the darkness because they're comfortable with the darkness. And because they're comfortable with the darkness, you don't want to turn the light on. And because you don't want to turn the light on, we want the word be sugar-coated for us. And I want to share a story, Kay, and you know this story, but I turned it into my salvation story. Our granddaughter gets on the bus, and the bus does not stop. It stops maybe 10 feet away from my driveway, 5 feet from my driveway. So it was cold, and my wife said, can I put her on the bus? I said, no problem. I get up. I take her to the bus. Now, I'm thinking to myself, it's a black school bus driver. I'm going to have a hookup. She's going to stop in front of my house. I don't have to walk to the neighbor's house, which is only 5 feet. So I want you to get the picture of me walking 5 feet or staying in front of my house. So as I'm walking the grandbaby to the front, my wife is at the door yelling at me. Most married men know this picture, telling me how to do what they asked me to do. I waved my hand at her like, you told me to do it, I'm going to do it the way I want to do it. The grandbaby telling me to go to the next house. I said, we're going to stop right here. The bus stopped in front of my house, got on the bus, and that's the end of the story. But as I went in, I feel I won the argument. So because my pastor is a bus driver, I didn't win because the bus stopped in front of my house. I got what I wanted. So when I went to ask the pastor, just because I wanted to rub it in my wife's face, what's the difference between stopping 5 feet or stopping at my house? I'm thinking my pastor is going to back me up 100%, but there, you really didn't do nothing wrong. She could have stopped there. It wouldn't have made a difference. But because of my pastor being the pastor, he gave me a 10-minute sermon on why the bus couldn't stop in front of my house, and it had to stop at a designed stop. Right. I thought he was my friend. I thought he was going to back me up, but he didn't. He didn't sugarcoat it for me. And what happens when we become saved, we want people to sugarcoat what we can and cannot do instead of telling the truth of the word of God. So in the moral of my story is, because with the bus stop, there could have been a sex predator that has to be so many feet away, and the bus is designed to stop there. And it will be against the law if it didn't stop where it was supposed to stop, if something was to happen along the line. That was just one of many reasons, and I'm getting educated about something that I thought I was right about because it felt right. It felt good. It was convenient for me to have that bus stop right in front of my house. Well, salvation is pretty much simple. If you believe it, if you confess it, then you're saved. It doesn't mean, that means you're giving your life over to the Lord. It's not your will no more. It's his will. And there's conditions to his will. You just can't live any old kind of way. Now, I didn't say you had to stop, but the Holy Spirit would teach you when to stop doing certain things. But you have to follow the instructions according to the light that the Lord is leading you to do it in. Am I making sense or am I making it too hard? Is that as plain and simple as I can make it?
Yeah, because what you just said, I'm like, okay, a lot of the times people, well, I'm going to use the same analogy that's used. People will get saved and they'll go to the front of the house. And the instructions are you have to go to this house here to get on the bus. So the instructions are you have to get into your word and be obedient to what the word says and apply it to your life. You just can't stop at, I'm safe, whew, I'm done. No, it doesn't end there. So you have to follow the instructions that are provided. I believe it's basic instructions before leaving earth. That's what the Bible is. Follow the instructions, and you will end up in the right place. You'll be able to make it to your destiny if you follow the B-I-B-L-E. So I like that. I'm also add to what you just said when you were talking about the lamp. So I'm going to share something. So our kitchen light, the light in the kitchen, is a large light with, like, a lot of lights in it, and it has this shield over it. Well, we couldn't get the shield off, and we didn't want to break the shield. So I contacted the property owner, and I let them know, okay, we need this shield off of the light because we need to change out the lights because the lights went out. So that was, like, almost 10 days ago. And so this whole time I've been using a lamp in the kitchen. I know that's ghetto, but hey, I'm sure somebody else did this before too. But it was a lamp that I've been using because I'm like, the light doesn't work when you turn on a switch. So today they finally came to fix the light. So I'm up here at work and I can hear them downstairs making noise or whatever, and they fixed the light. But when I go get off of work, I go downstairs, and I had my dinner in the oven. So I went to go get my food out the oven, and I'm just moving about. I never turned on the light switch because I was so used to having, you know, just the dim light of the whatever the lightness of outside coming in. I had took the lamp out of there because I said I'm not going to keep doing this lamp thing. So I never turned on the light switch. I'm just moving about in the dimness of the day, and I'm like, oh, I forgot the light works. So I'm like, I turn on the light. And a lot of the times, that's how we are. You know, when we accept Christ in our life, we get saved. And a lot of times we still walk around in darkness because we don't tap into the power source. And the power source is the Lord. And because we're so used to doing it our way, and we get comfortable doing it our way. So in that comfort, it's like you forget, oh, I don't have to do it that way. I don't have to do it this way. I have someone who has the ultimate power to help me in this situation. And so we don't at many times study the word and actually apply it to our daily life. We just read it. And by us just reading the word, it's not getting into our soul. It's not penetrating our spirit. So with the power source being the Lord, it's important to every day flip the switch, turn the light on, let the Lord shine, keep it on, just keep it on. It's never going to burn out. It's a light that shines forever as long as you allow it to work in you. If not, then it'll, you know, the dimmers, you can dim your light and make it a little bit lower, and the more you get out of the word, the more you stop going to church, the more you stop fellowshipping with the saints, that light gets dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. So it's important to tap into the power that the Lord provides and just, you know, stay connected. He has the power. Turn on the light and you know, let the Lord do what he needs to do. That's all I'm going to add. Amen. Go ahead,
husband. No, that's great. And we're trying to make it very simple. Being saved and living for the Lord is not, when I say it's not hard, it's very easy. We make it hard. I don't want to say it's hard. We make it hard. I made it hard for myself this morning because I just woke up thinking about all of the negative things that I had to face with today. Not only was our light out for the last week and a half, our front door was broke for a week and a half. We couldn't use our front door. Not only because we had to only live in the house, we had to go through the garage. On top of that, I had a package that I found out that was stolen from my front door. So all this stuff and waking up this morning and then have everything become fixed, it's just like, wow. And when you give your life to the Lord, you'll have moments where it seemed like it's bad, then the Lord shows up all at once. And it's just him showing who's in control. And because I wanted to be in control so bad and I have no control, I'm learning I have to turn some things over to the Lord and let him, because it's his will, it's his way, it's not mine. And after being saved for so long, sometimes even I have to forget. I have to remind myself it's not my will, but it's the Lord's will. And I'm going to be glad in this day regardless whatever I'm facing. And it's important that on this platform that I have, when we talk about salvation, it's between you and the Lord. It's your confession. It's your belief. It's your heart. And because it's yours, you make that relationship with the Lord. Some things you're going to struggle with. I'm going to be honest with you. And there's some things you won't struggle with. But once you struggle and you get through the struggle, can't no one take credit for it but the Lord. And I believe, this is my opinion, the little side, this is Derek's opinion, I believe that's how the Lord wants to work in our lives. He don't want us to take credit for anything. And when I think about the things that the Lord has blessed me with, I can't even take credit for it. He gets all the credit, all the glory, even when it comes to my salvation. He gets all the credit for it. It comes to my growth. I can't put my growth on no church, on no bishop, on no man. He gets all the credit and the glory for it because I couldn't do it. And I just want to be responsible enough to let you know, if you want to be saved, wherever you are, whatever part of the country you're in, the basic salvation, if you believe, if you confess and you believe, then you are saved, period. There's a period after Romans 10:9. That means you can't add nothing else to it. You can't take nothing away from it. And a lot of people tell you, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got. No, all you got to do is confess and believe, and then you're saved, period. And then begin a relationship. And when you begin your relationship, the Lord is going to clean things up in and out of you. And there's a lot of folks, and I'm just going to have a little side note, I'm not going to be long on this, get saved and they go to church and church messes them up because they think you can't do this, you can't do this, and you can't do that. Well, once you get in a relationship, and I'm going to relate this to kids now, all of our kids, if you had babies and they grew up, some kids was potty trained faster than others. That's just a fact. My son was potty trained at 9 months. People don't believe me, but at 9 months, my son knew how to go to the bathroom, period. There's some babies I see that's 2, 3, that still don't know how to go to the bathroom, but they're different kids. It was different. The training was different. It's all the same, but it's a little different. Some people catch things better than others. So when it comes to this salvation, it's pretty much the same thing. Some things you're going to pick up faster. Some things you're going to struggle with. And one thing about a little baby, and the reason I'm bringing that up, because the grandson today took his diaper off. He got tired of that filth being on him. And my wife's like, it's time for him to be potty trained. But he's only one. Some say he's not ready. But he took the pamper off. That's a sign. He's ready for the next step.
And took it to the trash.
So he had enough common sense to take the pamper off and take it to the trash at once. Some babies don't do that. And that's okay because eventually they will get it. But he's showing signs that he's ready for the next step. And sometimes when you get saved, okay, you may not stop drinking as soon as you make your confession. But if you start applying the word to you, you're going to get convicted. And then you'll start the Lord. And it's not me telling you. The Holy Spirit will guide you and tell you. And I'm not trying to argue with no preachers and no one saying, well, the Lord can clean you up, turn you right. He can do that. In some cases, he has done that. But in some cases, some things we got to deal with on our own and put the word on it on our own. Now, I'm not saying the Lord can't do it, but sometimes he wants us to do it ourselves. And not saying that he can't do it. He's able if he do it, and he's able if he don't do it. You just got to be a servant of him and apply the word to your life. And that's pretty much all I got to say for tonight. I'm excited. I'm happy. I just want people to know salvation is not that hard. It's not that deep. But it is very, very, very serious and very, very important that you, A, confess, then you believe, then you accept. If you can do those things, I'm telling you, things will start to look up for you. They will start to look up for you. And you start doing his will instead of your will. They really will look up for you.
Amen.
I'm making sense. Go ahead.
If I could put in there, you can't be saved and believe in another Jesus. So if I can say that, a lot of the times I come across people who say, yeah, I'm saved, but the life that they're living is not matching what they're saying. Because they'll say, yeah, I'm saved, and I believe in the Lord. And then the next thing I know, I see them with some crystals and taking money baths and doing all these rituals. And I'm like, how is that possible? It's not matching up. So if you're claiming that you accepted the Lord, get into the word. Get into what his word says. And believe in the real Jesus. Believe in the real gospel. And that's the only way you can have assurance of salvation. You got to believe in the real Jesus, the one who died on the cross and rose for you, not just this made-up stuff that people are doing and claiming and all these little G's. So make sure you're following what the word says. And I encourage you, a lot of the times, you know, this walk, I know my husband says it's not that hard, it's not that hard. But some days, in some situations, for me it is hard, only because I want to do things that I know I ain't got no business doing. Because sometimes people make me get to the point where I want to, you know, say, like the world say, give them a piece of my mind. Now, I don't cuss, but sometimes I'll be like, ooh, I wish I could just put some words together and tell them how I really feel. You know, sometimes it's like my flesh is like, oh, just let me get them. Just let me do, you know, let me get them just one good time so they know I'm not playing. But, again, that's my flesh. So, and every day this flesh has to die. And we do have to let the Lord lead us and guide us. So as far as salvation goes, if you're new to this Christian walk, just know God is not pointing fingers like, oh, you did that, oh, you did that, or you did. He's not like man. He's not going to be, you know, every little thing you do, oh, why you do that? He's not on you like that. He wants the best for you. So if you find yourself in a situation where you feel that you may have messed up, you slipped, you made a mistake, repent immediately, get back on track. God is, he's a forgiving God. But you got to be sincere about the situation. Don't play games. He know if you're playing games anyway. So, but you know, be real about it and get back on track.
Well, let me just clear this up. When I say that being is easy, it is easy when you totally get it. And people who are 100, people who are, I want to say this. I don't want to keep giving these different analogies and different stories, but something happened to me last week, and it was so quick, it was so fast, it kind of is funny. I was on the phone And me and my, we got a lot going on in our family, me and my wife do. And I was talking to Evangelist Bluette, I believe it was. And we was talking about my mother-in-law coming to Atlanta. And we were, and then we got into a conversation. And the conversation, I'm going to just show you how quick it just turned on in my head. I have issues with people in the church that have hurt me. And I heard her conversation. We've got about a 7-8 minute conversation. And she gave me a word. And all these years, all these scriptures, I've been holding on to this grudge. I've been holding on to this situation. I've been holding on to something. And in one word, she just said, let it go. I've heard it before, but on that day when she said, let it go, I felt a weight lift off of me. I don't care no more. Don't care about the situation no more. I don't even care to talk about the situation anymore. But it was just that simple. Let it go. It wasn't deep. It wasn't do the hocus pocus, turn yourself around 3 times. She didn't give me a scripture. She just said, let it go. And based upon that and upon the conversation we were having and about the things that she's been through, it made my little situation like, wow. And since she said it, I'm not going to lie to you. I don't feel like I have to go on a diet. I feel that much lighter in my spirit and in my walk. It's just let it go. Simple words. It wasn't something that I had. It just, and I felt good. And since the conversation, and my wife can be a witness, it just seems like I've been on this roller coaster going down. Everything is just going fast, and the Lord is just blessing me that I don't know, okay, I get blessed here, and I'm getting blessed here, and I'm getting blessed there. It ain't all about financial blessing. It's just I'm receiving the word of God more clearer, and it's just like I've been set free, if that makes sense. And when you're dealing with real people who wants to hear the word of God, who wants the true knowledge of the word of God, when you accept it, you confess it and believe it, it becomes easy because now you can be real with the Lord. If you're struggling, you ain't got to hide it. You ain't got to pretend that you got it all together. You know how church folks do, pretend like we got it together, pretend this and pretend, because real people is going to be up front with you. There's some real people I know. There's some people I know that are real that will slip up and cuss, but they're saved. But they're not going to hide that they cuss. They're going to be real with you. That I'm trying to stop, but you have to forgive. I'm going to keep it moving. But some of us sometimes we get so shocked when we see some sin, and if we want to chastise people because we see their sin. And instead of praying for them and encouraging them, we want to downgrade them. Well, Brother Ollie, you know you shouldn't be thinking like that. You know you should forgive 7 times 70, and you know what the word, and they want to beat me up with the word because I'm being honest with my sin. And then the same word they're beating me up with, and they go home and do either the same thing or something totally different because sin is sin. There's no greater sin. But it's just now you're looking like a hypocrite. So a lot of times people say, just be real with me. And if you're real, like the Lord is being real with salvation and about your walk, because it also tells us in the Bible, no one is perfect. And if any man says he's perfect, he is a liar and the truth is not in him. So we all struggle with something. Just be real with the struggle. Now, I'm not telling you to live your life and just complete sin and act like it's okay. I'm not saying that. I'm saying live your life, but if you're struggling with something, let your saints and your friends know because there's power in prayer. If I'm praying and my wife is praying that I can get rid of this issue, okay, it's going to come a lot faster because I got people on the job helping me get rid of it. But if I'm not saying anything, my wife don't know it, none of my friends know it, and I go in the secret closet and I'm hiding it, then I'm just a hypocrite. And we're just trying to be real with salvation. Turn it over to the Lord. Confess it to him. He will clean you up. Don't listen to men tell you it takes 3 days for you to stop drinking, or you got to go to a 12-step. Some people have to go to a 12-step program. Some people get delivered instantly. Some people struggle with it for years. That's between you and the Lord. And long as you're at peace with it, with the Lord, it's okay. He's going to clean you up. And if he's cleaning you up in other areas and you're still struggling in this area, but you still feel clean in other, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. And I'm going to give one more analogy, and then I'm going to get out of here. And again, I'm going with a kid. And the reason I'm saying that, I seen the grandbaby in the tub yesterday. He was just sitting in the water, splashing water all over himself. The object of putting him in the tub was to get the dirt off of him. But he didn't know how to get the dirt off himself. But he was in the tub enjoying the water, the cleansing of it. But the mama had to come in and wipe the dirt off of him. And see, what we got to do is we got to enjoy getting in the tub. That means enjoy getting the word. And when you enjoy getting the word, the Holy Spirit will clean you up.
Yes.
You
Amen.
Just
got to
get in the tub.
Amen.
So I'm hoping we're helping you with these little scenarios we have. It's very simple. It's not that hard. But on today, I just want you to know salvation is not that hard. All you got to do is confess and believe. And if you can do that, the Bible says you're saved. And there's a period at the end of that. You ain't got to do, you ain't got to get no money. You ain't got to speak in no other language. You ain't, you just have to confess your sins and believe it. Your heart. And the Bible says you saved. And then keep it moving. And once you know that you saved, don't let no one tell you you're not saved. Don't let no man tell you you're not saved. And if you do
Amen.
Something that you feel convicted with, repent and keep it moving. Repent and keep it moving. You know, that's the good part of being saved. That's the easy part of being saved. We make it complicated when we beat ourselves up. But the quickest thing that I can do is go ahead.
Let me add one more thing before you close out. Okay, so earlier when I went over the word B and the word R, so I was thinking, you know, I used to sell final expense arrangements with, you know, I was pretty much a telemarketer. You would call people and you want them to purchase the final expense where, you know, it pays for their services and everything when they pass. And with that, I was thinking when it says in Romans 10:9 that you will be saved, and like I said earlier, it's like an arrangement in advance. That's like your final expense. When you get saved, you are pretty much doing your final expense. That's something that you commit to and you live it out. It's your final expense. So if we can just, you know, we prepare for everything else, prepare to make your eternal rest in the Lord. That's all I wanted to add.
All right. Well, you know, we said we're going to be short and sweet tonight, and hopefully we gave you something. And every now and then, we're going to come back and we're going to do about salvation. I don't want people to think that it's complicated, because it's really not. Now, you are going to have some hard days. We all do. We all going to have some struggles. We all go through them. And some of the things I struggle with, for you, it may be very easy. For me, it's hard, and vice versa. There's some things for me that's very easy. For you, it might be hard. That's why we need one another, to uplift one another, to encourage one another, and to be there for one another. Because, like I said, we're going to need one another if we're all serving the same Lord, the same Savior, and the same God, capital G. We can all get through this thing together. We can all get through these things together. I'm going to need you just as much as you need me. And when I'm getting ready to say to wrap this show up, you're going to hear me talk about Bible study. You're going to hear me talk about a team of leaders. That's where I get my strength from. Now, it's coming from the Lord, but they're encouraging me through the scriptures, through God's word, how to get stronger, how to get better. And because I'm telling you, if you don't belong to a good Bible teaching church, tune in tomorrow. Listen to the leaders, because that's who I listen to. And as they strengthen me up, they will strengthen you up. And then if you have questions, it's a team of people around me that I can go to get my strength, to get what I need on a day in and day out basis. And I'm as sure as my name is Derek, as sure as I know tomorrow, who's ever teaching, it doesn't even matter, I can state that it's going to be from the Lord and it's going to help get me through the week. It's going to help me get me through situations. And even if I'm not going to say the word, you will never need it, but it'll be hidden in my heart just by what I'm hearing tomorrow. It may be for a future situation 6 months down the road. I'm being prepared to deal with it when I go to church and I hear what the Lord has for me. I'm just letting you know. So if you ain't doing nothing tomorrow, stop by. Same online station, same online time, 7 p.m. for Praise Tabernacle Bible Study. On Thursday night, you have Bishop Omar Zachary, Family Ministries at 7 p.m. and on the same online station. And if you want to watch it live on Facebook Live, go to Praise Tabernacle Church, Lawrenceville. That's their Facebook page. You can watch it live on Thursday night. On Saturday, we have Overseer Timothy Jackson out of Dallas, Texas. Is also where our next Chaos Talk Radio, we're expanding to Dallas, Texas. That means we're going to be in Dallas. There's going to be a church in Dallas, Texas. They're going to be ministry. Doing the same thing we're doing here is going to be done right there in Dallas, Texas. So we are expanding. Starting June, we'll be in Dallas, Texas. We're already there, but business purposes, we'll be there. But you can hear his show, the Overseer, Timothy Jackson's Spiritual Sense of Life, on Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Central Time. That's Dallas time. So that's on Saturdays. Then we'll come right back with Praise Tabernacle Church Sunday morning service at 9 a.m. in the morning, Bishop Omar Zachary, our bishop. And then we're just ready to roll. And I forget, on Sunday evenings, we have Watchmen on the Wall with Elder George Bazaar. Good elder. He used to be my youth pastor way back in the 80s. So this man has been a part of my life since before I was even a teenager. He was ahead of my life. He was one of my father's elders. And this is one of the things, and I'm going to say this shout out to him. He was an elder, and he served under my father's church. And out of all the elders, he's the only elder that stayed with me in every step of my life. He's been a great friend, a great leader to me. And I just can't thank him enough, because he's been right there every step of the way since I was 10 and I'm almost 50. And he's been right there every step of the way. With me. And my dad passed away in 93. So like I said, it's he's been with me for a long time. So I just want to send a special shout out to him. For all those that listen tonight, I just want to say thank you. And if you don't get anything else, go ahead.
I just want to give out an email. This is an email address that if you have any prayer requests, any testimonies, you can email us. It's ptcforchrist@gmail.com. So that's P for praise, T for tabernacle, C for church, forchrist@gmail.com. I wanted to add that in there.
Amen, because I certainly did forget. Yeah, if anything you want to pray about, send it to there, and we will respond back to you. And give us a timely frame. We'll get right back to you, and we'll have different elders and evangelists praying, and if you need a phone call, we can call you back. So just send it to that to that email, and we'll definitely be in touch with you. This, and I just want to say this in closing. We are going to a different level in the Lord. The Lord is opening up so many doors. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm just happy. I'm happy for the people that he's surrounding me with right now in this season of my life, because it's for a reason. It's for a reason. Every conversation, I'm looking at it now as a spiritual conversation. And it's not my will, but it's the Lord's will. And when you're doing things the Lord's way, he just has a way of blessing you, even when you don't even deserve to be blessed. So when I say that, and I do mean that, he just blesses me. With that being said, we'll be back here tomorrow night at 7 p.m. for Praise Tabernacle Church Bible study. So I'm telling you, if you ain't got nothing to do tomorrow at 7 o'clock, be back for Bible study. For those that are listening from PTC, thank y'all again for your support, for making me and my family feel part of your family, and let us continue to grow together in Jesus' name. And with that being said, I'm going to let my precious wife close us out tonight with prayer.
All right. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight thanking you for everything that you've done. Thank you for keeping us safe and covered in your blood. Thank you for your mercies that are new every day. Thank you for just anyone that's listening on tonight who may have thought it was too hard to walk this life or to live for you. I pray that you just do the increase. We planted the seed, and I pray that you do the increase. Water, grow, in the name of Jesus. Bless everyone on this upcoming week, and pray that we resume back here again on next Monday. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Good night, everybody.